Your congregation, let us turn in God's holy word to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read in our hearing the first 16 verses. Thinking of our text, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Especially dealing there with the shepherd's equipment, his rod and his staff, and what a comfort that is to the sheep. And we find here in Ephesians 4 an extension, as it were, of that rod and staff of the shepherd, especially in those gifts that Christ has given to his church, namely in verse 11, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, and so on. Let us hear then in that light, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descends is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. May God bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. This time we will confess our faith with the Church of all ages, and we'll do so using the Apostles' Creed, and may each one of us say in his heart thus, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the 10th article, we confess that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. And as we confess that, we will sing Psalter 277. 277, stanza 2, 3, and 8. Especially in verse 3 there, he freely pardons all thy sins, and he is strong to save. He heals thy sickness, soothes thy pain, and ransoms from the grave. Verse 8, as heaven is high above the earth, so great his mercy proves, as far from us as east from west, he all our sins removes. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to meditate on Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And certainly in those home spring pastures, there is a great encouragement for the sheep as he realizes and boasts to his neighbor's sheep as well that he makes me, his master makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then as he guides his sheep through the valleys to other pasture lands, then we recognize he gets very personal with his shepherd as he speaks directly to him in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This morning we had the privilege of being able to see that our shepherd, as he takes us through those valleys, we can lean on his shepherding experience. As he has experienced those valleys, as we found in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even on Calvary there, he went through the valley of the shadow of death. But we also realize that not only is our shepherd's experience valuable in leading us through the valleys, but his protection for us. He is always with us, with his protecting, all-powerful hand as our shepherd, the one who has risen from the dead, who has ascended on high, and who from the right hand of God has all power, both in heaven and upon earth, protects us, even with his perfect presence. As we found in Psalm 139, what a comfort it is that his presence is with us. And that's the first application I would like to make even for office bearers in this afternoon as we hope to witness the installation of office bearers. And I must confess, as I was preparing this sermon on Psalm 23, verse 4, I realized I had way too much material for one sermon. And then it dawned on me that this actually fits so beautifully with installation of office bearers. Because not that office bearers are going through the valley of the shadow of death all of the time. That's not why I bring that up. It's just because through the difficulty sometimes of office bearing, and bearing office, that is such a comfort when we realize that we're in over our heads. And David, too, was a shepherd and realizes that he needed God as his shepherd. And so we as under-shepherds of the great shepherd need the presence of the shepherd, especially in those difficult times. Those difficult times, as our brother just introduced us in worship, as a call to worship there from Joshua 1, as when Joshua was at the brink of the land of Canaan, and there God comes to him and says, be strong and of good courage, because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The same promise that Jacob had received at Bethel, God promising to him that he will never leave him until I have done, he says, what I have spoken to you and promised to you. That's no different than when our Lord Jesus Christ is ascending into heaven. In Matthew 28, and he gives us this great commission. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The presence of our God, our great shepherd, is such an encouragement to us as office bearers, because we cannot do our work separate from the chief shepherd. But we as under shepherds must confess, even as the psalmist did in 139, this knowledge that God has of me, that he is with me everywhere I go, and knows everything that's around me, is too wonderful for me. to have the intimacy of the knowledge of the shepherd, to be known by him, and to know his voice, and to know that he is perfectly equipped to guide his sheep, and he perfectly equips office bearers to also guide his sheep. I'd like to look at that, the remainder of our text. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Seeing the shepherd's equipment, and how he equips us. First of all, he's equipped with his rod, and secondly, he's equipped with his staff. Our shepherd equips with his rod. And we realize there that this word rod has a Hebrew meaning of, and it's conveyed in various other parts of the Old Testament too, in Leviticus 27, showing that it's a shepherd's rod or a teacher's staff in 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And it's also shown as a ruler's scepter, Genesis 4, verse 10, speaking of Judah there. Or even a weapon in 2 Samuel 23, verse 21. This rod had various uses. And this rod for a shepherd was one that the shepherd, even when they were very young already, they would find a sapling, a young tree, that they would come and they would cut it down and cut the bark off it. And at the bottom, they would dig it out a ways. And you know how a tree will have a little hollow and make a little knob at the bottom. And they would have this short rod. It was like a club-like, and at the end they would even put metal spikes in it once in a while. It became a rod, a thing of authority, a part of his equipment that he would hold close to him, right at its belt. And this rod would be to first of all, to defend the sheep, If there would be anything that would come up against the sheep, he would easily be able to get it, even if he's sleeping and watching and trying to watch the sheep and he's slumbering. He would still have this rod close by if the wolves or the lions would come. This is very likely how possibly even David was able to catch the beard of the lion and use a rod to blow and strike a blow upon the lion that he would release the lamb. This rod was a necessary part of what it meant to be a shepherd. He needed this equipment to do his work and to care for and defend the flock against the enemies. Jesus is often called this rod in the scriptures. I think of Isaiah 11, verse 1, where this servant is called the Lord's rod. And certainly, if you see this now in context with Matthew 28 and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And here, the great shepherd of our souls, he uses the rod to defend us. Psalm 2, verse 9, he uses that rod as a way of judgment and kingship over all of his creation. Jesus is the living rod. And his word is that written rod. We find that in Psalm 110 even. How Christ's strength is sent out of Zion in the application of the law and the gospel going forth unto the flock. He defends us with his rod. And no wonder, for these sheep that are going through the valley of the shadow of death, the rod that our Savior has and that who he is defends them. He defends them because he promises to defend them. And he does so through his word, but also through his servants. We find very clearly stated for us in Ephesians chapter 4, as we read earlier, that there the Lord Jesus Christ has descended and has ascended, and he does so that he might give gifts to men. That he might give some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And one of these tools and part of the equipment is that rod, that extension of his right hand that he gives to his church, even through elders and deacons and pastors. He equips for the edifying of his saints and for the ministry that goes on in his church. Now, not only is this to defend against error, and I think we can apply that, especially as consistory, that we would, as brothers, be watchmen on the walls of Zion, readily having the rod available, the word of God, that extension of the right hand of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to guide and to rule faithfully, defending the sheep from heresies and from the enemies that would come up against us. But not only is it to defend, that rod would be used also to restore sheep that were beginning to wander. Sheep that were wandering into the weeds along the sides, even poisonous weeds. The shepherd would take the rod and throw it at them, that they would scare them back into the fold and keep them away from the poisonous weeds. And so we also need to seek to restore wandering and straying members who are going into places that are only going to bring their souls into death, and to be able to use that rod effectively. That's what this young shepherd would early on in his shepherding experience would already fine-tune this rod, so that it would be weighted, so that they would know how to use it and be able to use it effectively. And they would practice time and time again with this rod. And so we also, as office bearers, need to be readily equipped. And I would encourage anyone who senses any kind of call, or not even sensing it, who wants to be a good father or a good parent, that you would attend the office bearer training sessions that are being provided by our churches. What an incredible encouragement to have that rod whittled down, to be fitted into your hand, to be ready to use it, not only for the church, but your families. And we would use these means of being equipped to serve our families and serve within the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seeking to restore wandering sheep, even through disciplinary measures. We find that this rod defends, it disciplines. But there was another function to this rod that we don't always think about and know about unless we understand a shepherd's life. Well, the shepherd, he would take this rod that he would have, and every time the sheep would come back into the fold, he would count the sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that he would know that all the sheep were back into the fold. He would use that. But there's also this term of passing under the rod. Ezekiel 20, verse 37, you can find this phrase. And that's illustrating how shepherds would have these sheep pass under the rod, not just to count them, but as he would tap those sheep gently in their wool, the wool would separate and they would be able to see if they had any parasites or any problems underneath their wool. That's where we get the phrase, pulling the wool over a person's eyes. And we think about how people might pull the wool over our eyes, but with the rod, the shepherd sifts through that wool and can see right down to the skin. And there, he can see if there's problems deep under the wool. It's called a wool parting examination. And isn't this necessary also for the flock that's been entrusted to us, dear brothers, to go on home visits and to go and just care for the flock that God has entrusted to us, not coming and beating them with a rod, but coming in and just parting the wool tenderly and gently so that you can see if there's concerns and cares underneath. Other times, maybe we have to take deeper inspections, yes, but that's still to the comfort and to the blessing of the sheep. I think of Psalm 139, which we read again this morning. You come to the end of it, and the psalmist says, "Lord, search me and know me. Try all my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. And turn me back to the paths of righteousness." You see, that's the desire of sheep who desire to be healthy. They come, they pass under the rod. And there we have this privilege, dear brothers, to be able to go on home visits, to be able to share in fellowship with one another, touching that wool to see and examine the condition of the sheep. God has given His church pastors and elders and deacons and evangelists and so on, as we find in Ephesians 4, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to that unity of the faith, that we would not be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that we would come under the rod and be encouraged to be faithful sons and daughters. Author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey those who have rule over you, those who have that rod, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. They care for you as no one else in this world cares for you. And they must give an account, and let them do so then with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. He says, pray for us. And that's our desire as a consistory too, that you would pray for us. For we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. He's given us the equipment of the rod, but also His staff. He's equipped with His staff. If the rod is authority and power and discipline and defense and seeking to examine, the staff is what guides, tenderly guides. It was a slender stick with a hook on the end. And this staff was for guidance primarily. And this is the concern that if you think of Jesus being the living rod, and He's spoken of as the rod very clearly in Scripture, this was the concern of the disciples when Jesus was going to go away. Well, who is going to guide us? Who is going to lead us? And Jesus says, I pray there. I will pray to the Father, He says in John 14, verse 16. And He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. That's what this staff is. Jesus leans on that staff. He uses that staff to guide His sheep by His word and by His Spirit. And this helper, says the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is the staff that the shepherd carried for our comfort. And you can see this shepherd during lambing season. The ewes are having the kids, and there these lambs are all getting mixed up. And the shepherd knows that he can't touch the lambs, because if he would touch those little lambs, the ewes would push them away. So he takes the hook of the staff, and he guides and carries the young lamb back to the ewe, to the mother, to be cared for. And so also we who have been entrusted with the staff that God has given, we guide the children, the youth, the covenant youth with the staff, and we tenderly guide them and keep them close to their families and close to the covenant community. And we, in extension through that comforting staff, we call others also in and say, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let Him come. And we freely draw them in with the hook of that staff unto the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ, tenderly through His staff. And as we see those lambs and the sheep, as they need that staff for guidance, it gives them real purpose and real guidance in their life. As He gives us the law and learning how to discern that law and to discover God's will for us. The staff is for our good. And the shepherd uses it with wisdom and discernment. We also find that the staff is used sometimes to just quicken the pace of the sheep, encourage them on. It would tap on them. A little heavier touch of that staff would quicken their pace so that they would press on and stay focused and go on even down those narrow paths, to be encouraged to go on. Even when they couldn't see the shepherd, that staff would push them on. It would also prevent them from wandering into danger. And it would be a discipling type of a mechanism. Sometimes on that staff, they would have a hollow hollowed out so that they would take a dirt clod and be able to toss that in the direction just to give a little warning shot saying, don't go there. And isn't that how the Lord disciples his sheep too? Even by his Spirit, that he comes and he convicts, as we find in John 16, the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He says, because of sin, because they don't believe in me, and righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. And so he comes and he disciples and he draws us in with his staff, leading us out of danger and gathering us into the fold. The shepherd would use that staff to take people when they get stuck in the mire, or take sheep when they get stuck in the mire, and pull them out with it. And he would, and we always think of a staff and how the shepherd would point, and we could point with that staff, but every time the shepherd would point, there it's always pointing back to him. And so even the work of the Holy Spirit, as he points us always back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear congregation, dear brothers who are going to be installed into office, and those who are on consistory, let us always lean on the Holy Spirit, seeking to be filled with his Spirit, seeking to use that staff according to his Spirit, and always pointing the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the equipment that he's given to us, his Word and his Spirit, the rod and the staff. In Hosea 4, verse 12, my people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. In other words, those wooden idols that have ears but don't hear, have eyes but don't see, they have hands but they handle not, they're seeking advice from these dumb idols, and their staff and their guidance, it informs them, and it leaves them to poverty and hopelessness. Oh, we have such a greater staff. A staff that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ, his helper, his Holy Spirit, and he guides us and leads us into all truth. Let us use it. Micah 7, verse 14, he says, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage. May we do so faithfully and diligently as brothers in the consistory, caring for those tender lambs, caring for those who are wandering into poisonous weeds and are getting into danger, and delivering them and their souls from great condemnation. But dear congregation, this isn't just for office bearers. For we all carry the office of Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. If we claim and we know that we are united to Christ by his Holy Spirit, then we also are called Christians. And those who are Christians and have gone and tasted something of the valley of the shadow of death, God also equips to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For the sufferings of Christ abound in us so also our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, says Paul. And so therefore, the comfort which we receive from his rod and his staff, we're not to hide that. We're not to stick that rod down in the back of our trousers and go on as if we don't need to have easy access to it. We don't need to lay the staff aside. We need to be readily equipped with the rod and the staff everywhere we go. Because the sheep, we all need each other. Yes, we need the great shepherd above all. And we need under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need one another in the sheepfold. The sheep need each other. Jesus looked and he saw the great multitude. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep having no shepherd. And so he began to teach them and have compassion on them. And he says this to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And he would send us out. This isn't just for ministers of the gospel, but that he sends his people out into society. As we see those sheep scattered in pain and lostness and scattered because of their own sinfulness, how we would come alongside them. Those sheep that are caught in the thicket of worldliness, that are cast down with depression and hopelessness, that are enslaved to the trappings of this world, held in the jaws of addictions, oh, that we would come alongside them and show them the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. How we would take the equipment of the rod and the staff and point them to the Great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. God brings us many times through the valleys. Maybe he brought you through a valley of addiction in your life where you had to come to an end of yourself and look to the Lord Jesus Christ to get you out of that addiction. And there now today, you can comfort someone else and come alongside someone else who's also struggling with the same addiction. Or maybe he's brought you through difficult ways and way of health and sickness, and you've been into the hospital rooms and you go up the hospital elevators and you hear others bleeding sheep pouring out their hearts and their souls because they're tormented within themselves and they have nowhere to turn. And you can hear these bleeding sheep and you can point them with the rod and the staff that have comforted you to the Savior, the Good Shepherd. As they walk through their valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. Do we hear and see the needs of all around us? And do we carry the rod and the staff for our comfort, but also for others? Our Good Shepherd, he is equipped, and he equips. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Grace be with you all. Amen.